invite you to take your Bible now and stand, if you would, as we're going to look at the Christmas secret in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17 and 20 and 27. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Look at verse 20. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And look at verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for preserving with such great detail Your Son becoming flesh. Thank You that for the hope and the assurance that we have through the blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. And we celebrate this Christmas time. We look around in our own county, in our own nation, and around the world. There is tremendous darkness, spiritual darkness. So today, as we study Your Word, Heavenly Father, as we look at the secret of Christmas, may we be very generous in sharing that secret with every person we know and even around the world. And Lord, we're all here today not by accident but by divine appointment. I pray if there's someone here today who's never been saved, this is going to be the day of salvation. For those who are already born again, may Christmas be a very, very special time of celebration and joy, that people could see the expression on our faces. They could hear it in our voice. Christ, the hope of glory, is our Lord. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing unto You as I share from Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think we probably keep more secrets this time of the year than any other month on the calendar. We always want to get family members that very special gift and keep it a secret. You know what I found out several years ago? The biggest surprise is when you buy a family member a surprise and you forget you bought it and you forget where you hid it. When we study the Christ event and we look at Matthew and Luke, we see a historical account of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the other books in the New Testament, we'll see the details are more of the very spiritual significance of the Christ event. So I want you to look with me today, first of all, here at the preeminence of Jesus Christ in verse 15. When the Lord Jesus was born, the Bible tells us about the wise men. There was a supernatural star that led them to the Savior. Now, I just believe that every star is supernaturally created. But this was one that gave specific instructions. It was the wise men's GPS for that day. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says that the invisible things of God are seen by the visible creation. Is it not interesting that God used a piece of His creation to point the wise men to Jesus? All I've got to do is just look around at God's creation. And I think God's creation points back to Him. I don't have any problems believing in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the verses of Scripture come back again to the whole thought that when Jesus was born, look at verse 15, says He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That word image there is where we get our word in the English, icon. So what I'm telling you is that when Jesus Christ was born, it is the visible Christ who makes the invisible God visible. Now notice also it says he was the firstborn of all creation. Now do not think that when Jesus was born, he was a created being. This is God taking on flesh. Jesus Christ has been from eternity. He is the creator of all things. Notice what this is telling us in this text is he is prior in time to all things. He is also superior in position. Look at verse 16. It tells us the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created. That means that Jesus Christ was present with God the Father in the creation of the world. Any rational person can look at the creation of the world and deduce from that that there is a God. Even when I was back in college, people were teaching evolution in our state universities. I don't know about you, but when I look at a clock, I've got to believe that there is a clock maker. Now here's what the evolutionists want you to believe. They want you to believe that we can take this watch and I can take some tools and absolutely tear it to pieces and throw that watch in the air with all those pieces and it will fall down and all come back together again and keep perfect time. How ridiculous is that? There was an atheist professor who was a proponent of evolution, and he decided he would go for a tour in the woods to look at God, to look at the evolutionary accident. He didn't believe in a God, and I want you to know he went out there and saw the accident of the trees and the flowers and the accident of the weeds and everything that was around. And about that time, a big bear jumped out of the bushes behind him, and the old boy started to run. And so finally, he slipped and the bear was gaining on him. This bear was 7 feet tall. Bear's claws were almost on him and the man said, "Dear God, help me." All of a sudden the bear froze. The river nearby stopped flowing. The wind ceased. And there was a light in the sky. And the guy heard a voice that said this. He said, "Why should I help you now? You've been deceiving people for all these years, telling people that this universe is a cosmic accident. And after all these years of teaching your students, why would I help you now?" Here's what he said. "You're right, my track record's bad, and it would be hypocritical of me to call on you now. But maybe we could approach this in a different way. Even though you can't do anything for me, perhaps you could turn that bear into a Christian. And if you did that, things would still turn out differently for me." All of a sudden, the river started flowing. The winds were blowing. The bear backed off on his hind legs, bowed his head, cupped his paws and said, "Dear God, thank you for the meal that I'm about to consume." You know, things can get scary sometimes. And when things get real bad, it's amazing the new direction in which people are willing to look. Literally, the text says here, not just by him, but in him were all things created. It does not say that God is in all things. Listen to me carefully. God created all things, but he is not in all things. That's pantheism. That's why when you go to some countries, they have cattle roaming the streets. They won't slaughter them because they think they're killing their God. That's why some people won't kill a snake. That's why some people won't kill an insect. Because they think God, that's somehow destroying a piece of God there. Listen, that's pantheism. He says here that Jesus Christ created all things. Now think about what that means. We're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this time of the year, the birth of the Son of God. We're celebrating the Creator taking on flesh. Think about that. You ever sit around and just kind of think about the universe, the immensity of it? I was reading the other day, one prominent scientist said, there are more stars in our universe than there are grains of sand on our seashores. Is that not amazing? You know, somebody, one of my friends used to tell me, he said, I don't like going to the beach. He said, you just pay to go get sand in your britches. That's all it is. But you know what? You can't count the sand on the seashore. But now they believe there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on the seashore. People have asked, is there life on another planet? Is there intelligent life on another planet? Several years ago, I was amazed when I read that Congress had allocated $100 million to figure out if there was intelligent life on another planet. That money would have been better spent if they had done a study in Washington, D.C. to see if there's any intelligent life starting in the White House down. When I think about the fact the Bible says in Him all things were created, I think about the complexity of the universe. Just take one human cell. Scientists tell us that in the human body there are 300 trillion individual cells. And in those cells in the human body, we find each cell is a very complicated factory system. Each cell has a very complex organization. It has a wall, and it has cytoplasm, and it has a nucleus. And in that cell, you find strands of DNA which give detailed instructions for every part of the human body. You can go deeper and deeper, and it gets very complex. The very complexity of the universe tells us there's a Creator God who created this universe. But look at verse 17. It says, by Him all things exist. All things hold together. Jesus Christ is the glue that holds everything together. All things hold together by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is upheld by the word of His power. Hebrews chapter 1 says, that means that all of the stars are held in their place by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you ever noticed that our earth is tilted on its axis? You ever get up some days and you kind of feel like you're like this? That's just the earth on its axis. It could have been the codeine in the cough medicine you had the night before. I don't know. But you know, and what are we doing? Spinning. Earth says to God, I'm tired of this. Lord Jesus Christ says, keep spinning. Stars hanging up here. Said, Lord, I'm a little tired of hanging up here. The Lord says, keep hanging. Sun says, you know, I'm a little tired of this. I'd really rather look at somewhere else, another planet, and see how they do it over there. You know what God says? The Lord Jesus Christ says, you just keep on shining. The Bible says that we can cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. The very Creator of the universe cares about every one of our needs. Notice His preeminence. Second thing I want you to see here is the purpose for Jesus' birth. Look at verse 20. The Apostle Paul says this in verse 20. He says, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Isn't that amazing? He starts out telling us about the Creator and talking about God taking on flesh, and all of a sudden He takes us to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand the cross, you cannot comprehend the meaning of Christmas. I want you to know when Jesus came, you remember Simeon. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple and they saw Simeon in Luke 2:35, Simeon said, a sword will pierce your own soul also. When Jesus was born, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you wrap a dead body in preparation for death in those days. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you had a baby shower. Baby had already come, or baby not arrived yet, not born. And somebody brought you a little dress or a little outfit for a little boy to bury your child. And that is at the baby shower. Notice something else here. It says that later on when the wise men came, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was used to embalm bodies. Let me interpolate that for you in the 21st century. I've never been in a church that had so many showers in all my life. But suppose instead of somebody bringing you Pampers to your baby shower, they brought you a funeral wreath. That's the equivalent. Yet when you read about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find intermingled all through the statements and the stories of his birth, there's reference to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't understand the meaning of Christmas until you understand the cross. He was born to die. Notice what he says here. Paul said, having made peace by the blood of the cross. What is the cross? I plan on getting married one time. So far, I've been true to my word. I'm going to tell you something else. I was asked to speak at a civic club in Rome, Georgia the other day. About 80 people present, mostly city limit people. And when I was there, I saw that as the same way as marriage. I'll never be asked back to this place again. I'm one and done. But let me tell you what I told those people then. One little thing that I told them, I said, our nation needs to return to its Christian roots. I didn't call any names of politicians. I didn't favor independents, Democrats, Republicans, confused people, whatever's out here. But I said, when you drive back home or back to your businesses today, here's what you're going to see. On a steeple, on the top of almost every church in this town, there's going to be a cross. And I said, that the cross there is a reminder of what God did for us through His Son. And He expects us to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord and make our lives count for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's time for Christian people to stop rolling over and playing dead with the liberal, lost agenda. We're children of the King, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so it's time that we stand up and let our light shine in this nation. If the Lord Jesus had been crucified today, I think it would have been exploited by the media. Even today, you can turn on a History Channel or public television, and they're trying to tell you how Jesus is not who the Bible says He is. You think about the pain Jesus endured. You think about the nails. You think about being beaten. You think about a crown of thorns pressed down on His head. We say we're born again. Why should we have to beg people to come to church? Why should we have to plead with people to share Christ with their lost family members, their neighbors, and people that they encounter? In order to understand Christmas, you got to understand that Jesus was willing to be on the cross. And you remember what happened? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you see the preeminence of Christ. And then you see He moves all the way from Christ in the cradle to Christ on the cross. And then I want to ask you a question. Whose cross was it? Look at verse 20. having made peace by the blood of His cross. It didn't say Buddha's cross. Scripture doesn't say Mohammed's cross. We see it as the cross of Jesus Christ. Why the cross? Here it is. Having made peace by the blood of the cross. Sin is the most destructive force in all of human nature. Some of you have debit cards now. That's great. I've got a debit card. I still like to write checks. This is something about writing that check. I don't know what it is. And I think you feel it more. Now, if you pay cash, it really hurts. But sometimes your bank statement comes and you've just got one total. And guess what? The bank's got a different one. Now, I know some of you are like a girl named Fran that was in my other church. Her daddy was president of the bank. She never balanced her checkbook. She bounced checks all the time. She just knew her daddy would cover it. Well, listen, my daddy's never been president of the bank, my biological daddy, so I have to reconcile my checkbook. Sometimes I have to call the bank. I found out the older I get, the more the bank is correct more times than I am. I don't understand that. But I want you to know, when bank balances don't match, you've got to reconcile it. Jesus Christ is our reconciliation and the only fix for our sin problem, period. Jesus Christ is our fix to the error of sin. Now notice the promise of Christ's birth in verse 27. It says in verse 27, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And that Greek word there for mystery is mysterion. And you know what that is? That's where we get our English word mum. Mum's the word. Now Barney Fife on Andy of Mayberry would say pick a lock. Isn't that what he'd say? I have no idea what that means. Pick a lock means to open something. So I have no idea what that means, but it means mum is the word. You know what that means? That Jesus is going to reveal a great mystery to all the world. And that's what Christmas is all about. Look at verse 26. That all through the ages God had a secret. And now he says, Paul says, in this day, the New Testament day, he's manifest this secret to his saints and God's people. Now the question is, what is the mystery? Look at verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here it is. Listen to me carefully. God who was born, God taken on flesh, that is God with us. Jesus Christ dying on the cross is Christ for us. But here's something that's absolutely astounding. He says here, that if you trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, Christ lives in us. Wow. How in the world could the God of the universe possibly live in us? That's what the Christmas secret is. Christ in us, if you trust Him. Think about the marvel of all that. The day you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you entered into a spiritual union. Some of you love coffee, and there's nothing in the world wrong with that. I love the smell of coffee. When I drink coffee, it makes me very, very ill. And so, if you see me walk through Starbucks and not buying anything, I'm just enjoying the smell. Well, I want you to know that today, if I had a cup of coffee up here, which this came from the youth bar back there, our Starbucks knockoff, suppose I had a cup of coffee right here. Everybody with me now? And so I'm a person who likes cream in my coffee. Now, I didn't say skim milk. Okay? If you're going to go for it, go for it. Don't lie to yourself. Your stomach and your taste buds know the difference. All right? Suppose I've got this about half full and front row is pretty good right here. Doesn't that sound like Starbucks to you? All right. And so then, I'll do anything to get your attention. So I take that and I stir that up real good with that coffee. Let me ask you a question. Am I having black coffee? Am I having white coffee? When you stir it up, it's a whole different color. Because that cream is in that coffee. And that makes it a whole lot better. And this is real cream. But you know what happens when you stir up that coffee with that cream? You can't ever separate it. Did you know that? Doesn't matter how you try. You can strain it. You can filter it. You do everything in the world you can possibly do. And you don't have black coffee. It may look a little brown. You can't get the cream out of it. Let me tell you something. Once you've genuinely invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you can't ever get Him out. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we call the security of the believer. Ephesians 3:17 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Do I understand that? No. Do I like it? Oh, yeah. What a miracle. I'm going to tell you what, that takes care of the problem of our sinfulness. That takes care of our loneliness. That takes care of our sinful behavior. How in the world can we walk in premeditated habitual sin when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives within us? He knows it all. I tell you what else that takes care of. Christ in you, the hope of glory, takes care of your usefulness. I've got a very childlike faith. I believe every person that's been born on the face of this earth has a purpose. I believe born-again believers had really better try to discover that purpose. Now watch this very carefully. How many of you have appliances in your home? Everybody got appliances in your home? Most of you do. Some of you don't. Some of you don't care. But anyway, suppose today you go home and say, well, I'm going to cook lunch in the refrigerator. Some of you do. Comes out of the freezer. Suppose you decide, well, you know, I've got some leftovers here. I think I'll just store them in the stove. You know, my grandmother would invite us over for big, what she called dinners. And she had whole lard biscuits, fatback, country ham, grits, vegetables they bought from farmers locally. One thing I never did understand is when we finished eating dinner, which was lunch, she'd take a big tablecloth and put it over the whole thing. And then that's what you had for supper. I should have died of ptomaine poisoning years ago. I got some bad news for you. If you get up in the morning and you go to your toaster and use it like a microwave, you're going to be there for a while. Suppose your refrigerator gets up this morning and decides, I'm going to be your clothes washer. Suppose your clothes washer decides it's going to be your refrigerator. You know what? The purpose of every appliance in your house is dictated by its maker. Are you with me? every person on the face of this earth, especially those who are born again, baptized believers. You can run from it. You can rebel against it. But God has a special purpose for your life. The Christmas secret. God with us. God for us. Christ in us. Make sure the secret gets out. Let's stand right where we are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.